I thought this morning I wanted to take a look at the fathers, Jacob in particular, but also a little bit of Isaac. So go to Genesis chapter 25. I'm always fascinated by looking at Genesis and the foundation, really, of everything that's in the scriptures. And these are called the fathers, the patriarchs, the fathers. And these are the individuals that God gave his promises to. Can you imagine being like all the population of the earth? You know, you think about it that way. You got an entire earth filled with a bunch of people. I mean, and we're talking about a bunch. And God gives his promise to Abraham. And we go through and look at Abraham's life and see how he obeyed God and walked with God. But we see how God dealt with Abraham, which is even more important. And then you see Abraham has a son, and that son is the child of promise, Isaac. He also has another one, Ishmael, and he's not the child of promise. So the Christ line that God had promised Abraham is going to come through Isaac, and then it's going to go to Jacob. But Jacob's kind of unusual because Jacob wasn't the one that was supposed to have the promise going through him. And God talks about this in the scriptures. And in 25, we'll start reading here in verse 21. It says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord, Yahweh, for his wife, because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went and inquired of Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto her, Two nations are in thee, in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And so, very, very plain. She's having twins. The kids are kicking around. She doesn't understand. She asks the Lord. And he gives this prophecy of these two nations. Not two children. Two nations. And two peoples. And I thought that is very interesting, right? It's not just for the individual, but it's also for what's coming in the broader sense of these two peoples. And then it gets down to a little bit here, but let's keep reading. "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old. When he bare them." 80 years, that's 60 years old when he bare them. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man." I don't know what a plain guy is, but he's plain. Maybe he just wore white shirts. I don't know. I always thought, no color. No tie. But anyhow, Obviously, the difference God is, he dwell in tents. So you have one man that's outgoing, a hunter, and you have another individual. I think they're all living in tents, but one guy that's just, you know, what does your Bible say?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. How they get plain out of peaceful, I don't know. But at any rate, to go beyond that, because it's not that important. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. They're playing favorites. And Jacob sowed pottage. He boiled pottage, soup. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Whereof was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is just a simple little record, right? Two brothers. One comes out of the woods. Hey, I'm hungry. The other guy's making soup. He's a plain guy, you know. No steak here. I don't know. I'm in a rare mood. But think about it. But I want you to see the consequences of what comes out of your mouth and what's in your heart. And this is going to be real in these records. Because this man, just on a whim, he has no concern about his birthright. It's not worth anything to him. And he just says, sure, I'll sell it. I swear. And guess what? It's done. This is done on earth, and it's done in heaven. And what was Esau's birthright? Esau's birthright was to have the Christ come through his side, because he was the firstborn. It was also to have the inheritance. But I'm considering, you know, we're talking about the things that God has promised Abraham and his father Isaac, and Esau doesn't care about it. Those promises. And he sells it for a bowl of soup. Verse 26. Go to 27. We're going to come back to those two men and the first thing that God says here in a minute. But I wanted to go here. In 27 verse 1 it says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapon and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now, Rebecca, she was... Rebecca, she heard this, and now we go through this whole story of, well, we're going to make Jacob look like and smell like Esau, and we're going to work this thing out, and this is all Rebecca's idea, work this thing out so that Jacob gets the blessing. But I want to take you, Mary and I were talking about this the other day, to Romans 9. Keep your finger back in Genesis. We're coming back there. If you want, it might take a little while. Put a bookmark there. Romans chapter 9. And starting in verse 3, it says, "For I could wish that myself were cursed for Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaining the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken of none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So just because you were one of the children of Abraham doesn't mean that you're part of this thing in any way, shape, or form, except for the promise God said would come through Isaac. So it's not bloodline. God's not dealing with people as in bloodline. He is dealing with people in faith, that have a faith in themselves. And we're going to see this. Verse 8. "That is, they which are the children of the flesh," these are not the children of God, "but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son." That's what God promised Abraham. "And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one," we're talking about Isaac, "even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." That's strong. Why did God hate Esau? Because he despised it. It says in King James, he despised it. He despised his birthright. It meant nothing to him. The promises that God had made, all the Abraham, his grandfather, had taught him, his father had taught him, Isaac, none of it. They lived in the house as the two great believers were taught, and yet he dismissed it, and it wasn't worth a bowl of soup to him. And remember, it said in Genesis, his name would be considered Edom because of that. And Edom was a people and didn't do all that well. They were great people, big group, but didn't go well. It's not, God is not dealing with individuals because of how their bloodline, He didn't pick Abraham because he was such a righteous man. He picked Abraham because Abraham obeyed. He called him, and Abraham obeyed. He went. He trusted. He followed. He believed what God said to him. God was the one that decided to give him everything. God was the one that said, hey, this guy believes. And God decided to bless him and help him. Same thing with Isaac. Isaac didn't have anything to say about it. Isaac was the one in which the promise was going to come through. I mean, you and I don't choose, you know, what is going on in our life. God did. God chose between Esau and Jacob. God is the one who chooses, and God gets the thing done that God wants done, according to his will. And I think people have the misunderstanding that just because you are a Jew means that you're part of the promise. No, not all Israel is of Israel. Not all Gentiles are entitled to anything either. The ones who will become the sons of God and receive the promise of the kingdom to come and the Messiah to come and all that he has accomplished are the people who believe, like Abraham did. We believe the words that were given, we live accordingly, and we carry them out to the best of our ability, and we obey. These are the most important parts of understanding what's going on here in Genesis. Romans explains, hey, this is about faith. And these two kids, it wasn't favoritism. You know, one was red, one was plain. I like the plain kid. No. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do what was in Jacob's heart. When he had the opportunity to get something out of his brother, it wasn't because he was conniving. It was because this is what I want. And my brother, and he knew it, don't care about it at all. That's really the amazing part. Of all the things he could have asked for, hey, I want a new suit of clothes. You know, get me the next deer you get. It's mine. I mean, those are all valuable things. No, I want your birthright. And it's something that Esau had no value in. None. Zero. But the thing that amazes me here, how God marks when an individual swears. Almighty God's in charge of this birthright, right? Think about it. He's the one that's made the promises. Now, if Esau believes, you know, Isaac was where the seed was called. Now, if Esau believes, we're just hypothetical here, Jacob's second born. Everything goes to the one who's firstborn. Now, Esau made the deliberate decision to sell his birthright. And it wasn't of any value to him. Hey, I'll let it go. But Jacob wanted this. He wanted the promises. He wanted the things of God. And when Esau swore to him, it registered in heaven and it registered on earth. This is a done deal. It can't be taken back. You know how when we were kids, you could say, what was that word we used? Do-over. Didn't mean it. Do-over. Well, listen. The words that came out of this man's mouth changed history, and they can't be taken back. And he knows it, Jacob knows it, and everybody from this point on will know it. And that is something that you ought to consider, how idle words come out of your mouth. You know, how much scripture is talked about as far as the mouth and the confession? I can't explain it. All I know is what it is, it is. Let's go back to Genesis 27. So Rebecca goes through this whole process of getting her son to trick Isaac, his father, because mom told him to. And Rebecca is doing this because of what God had told her. Remember? God said to her, two nations are in thee, and the elder, the firstborn, will serve the younger. So this is kind of quite something. So we'll get to 28 here. Because the trick works. Isaac can't quite figure it out. He's obviously not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I don't mean to disparage him, but he's not. You know, he's blind. He's old. You know, he hears the voice of his son. He says, oh, it's the voice of my son Jacob, but you smell like Esau. I mean, come on. It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad, you know. It's not good to get old. So here is the blessing. This is the blessing that Isaac blessed Jacob with that belonged to Esau. It says in verse 28, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. That's Esau. And curse be every one that curseth thee. And blessed be he that blesses thee. That is, what do you want to call it? The blessing, it's called? The prophecy? All I can tell you is that in Hebrews 11, verse 20, in Hebrews 11, 20, it says that Isaac blessed both his sons by faith. You know what that means? The words that came out of Isaac's mouth were inspired of God. And God was the one who was giving these words to put over Jacob, which means this is God's approval. God is not tricked. This is the right blessing on the right man who is the younger of the two. And this one is going to rule and reign. And doesn't matter how many centuries it's going to take. And it certainly never happened in his lifetime. What happened in his lifetime was just minimal, you know, almost equal, because his brother Esau was a mighty man, had 12 tribes, 12 nations in him. But the truth of the matter is that all of that will be subservient to Jacob and his bloodline, his people, because we'll be in the kingdom of God. And we will rule. So we're part of that promise. So this is not just talking about one man's lifetime or his situation, because Jacob gets screwed over here for 14 years with Laban. He comes back. He's afraid. I mean, a lot of things happen. I mean, he has 12 sons. And you want to talk about a dysfunctional family? I mean, this guy was miserable. Joseph, you know, was a good man, all right? And Benjamin was great. He was the youngest. But you know what? The rest of them, they wanted to kill their own brother, sold him into slavery, all the rest of it. And actually, it was so God would work out the salvation of the nation of Israel because they would be protected in Egypt until he took them out. And now we're talking about 400 years. So God's got an awful lot of things working in the fire here. But I want you to come back here. Now look at what Isaac says to Esau about the blessing that he has just given Jacob. And it says, verse 30, we're in 27, verse 30. And it says, and it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out. He ran out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So it's like one is out the door, the other one comes in. And he also made savory meat and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled. I mean, this is serious stuff, huh? He trembled very exceedingly and said, who were it he that had taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Those words that I put on him, they are coming to pass. And Esau heard the words of his father and cried with a great exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came and subtly hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he supplanted me these two times. Now, this is the complaint of an unbelieving whiner. And most people take this thing, he's a supplanter, you know. And if you're a Gentile and you were raised and you heard the stories about Jacob, you were convinced that Jacob was the bad guy here. If you were a Jew, you were taught that Jacob was the great guy here. And I believe the Jews are correct. It's not that Jacob, he desired the things of God, and he obeyed his mother who had heard from the Lord all that time ago. He's going to pay a price for it, but he believed and wanted the things of God. But here the brother calls him a supplanter. The schemer. He supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, he didn't take it away. You gave it to him. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing from me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. I have made him thy Lord. I have given him the rule over you. That, when a prophecy, a blessing, when something that God gives you to speak and you speak it, this thing can't be changed. It's not going to be changed. The words that were spoken, he gave by faith, it says in Hebrews. And that means that he got the word from the Lord, and he spoke it. And he blessed them both. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou not one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Esau and Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Don't quite understand all of it, but I do know this. Esau was feared. Jacob feared Esau during his lifetime. And he certainly had the dominion over his earthly life. But what God had said and what Jacob, what Isaac had prophesied over the blessing over Jacob, that's coming to pass, and that's lasting throughout eternity. You know, we can't say any of these things are happening in the lifetime of the individual, but it seems to me that Esau is going to be the one who rules during their lifetime. And he doesn't have to be under his neck. But that's just my thought. All I can do is read what's written. It says, And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of the mourning of my father are at hand. In other words, he's going to die soon. And then will I slay my brother Jacob. So Rebecca hears that and sends Jacob off to Laban, you know, to hide. And then Rebecca starts complaining about the women that are around, the Canaanite women that are around, and God forbid that my son should marry one of these people. So it says in 28:1, And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram of the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land where thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent him away Jacob, and he went to Laban's. Notice here that Isaac again blesses his son, who he should have been really just angry with, right? But this is a done deal. The blessing which God had given him to put on the right man, Jacob, was steadfast. It's not removable. You can't change your mind. It is what it is. The same thing when they curse somebody. God says, whoever curses you will be cursed. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. That is the promise of Abraham that God gave to Abraham. The same thing's true of you. Whoever curses you will be cursed. Whoever blesses you will be blessed, because you are the children, it says in the New Testament. You are the children of Abraham, and you are heirs of the promise. So just consider how important words, and especially ones inspired of God. I can't say every word ever spoken is that important, but I can tell you this much. The ones that are inspired of God certainly are. This is the foundation, because God keeps talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, throughout the Bible. This foundation of these individuals who believed on the coming Christ and believed and obeyed God and desired the things of God. Desired it. This is what real believers are about. This is the example that's set for you and me. And the promises and the words that were given, they are absolutely true. And they're coming to pass. And one day we are going to see it come to pass. And again, I want to just remind you, Romans 9. Not all Israel is Israel. In Galatians, I believe it's in the last chapter. Go there. Chapter 6. And I want to teach Galatians again. I want to try to do a better job than I did a while back. But I don't think I'm going to teach it live, because I want to put it on tape and be able to make it available for people, you know, for many years to come. So I don't want to be stuck. I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out. It's like I make a video. I made a video of the teaching that I did on Pentecost, and I split it into three sections. I'm going to put it up on Rumble. And, you know, I mean, I did it so that I could practice doing this, and also because it was a fairly good teaching and you all seemed to like it. So I figured, well, why not preserve it and put it up there? One of these days, you know, maybe my granddaughters will watch it. So if nobody else, maybe they will learn and get blessed. But it says here, in chapter 6, verse 15 of Galatians, it says, "For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision." Those two things, those two distinct words, Jews and Gentiles, means nothing. But a new creation, a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Jew and Gentile, the way most people reckon it in their head, circumcision, uncircumcision, means nothing. What means something? It says, according to the rule, as many as walk according to this rule, which things mean nothing, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. You know what the word Israel means? I was going to do that section when God changes Jacob's name to Israel. Israel means the one, it's a prince. You are a prince. And it's also the beloved of God. You, according to Ephesians, are beloved. All you Gentiles. And all you guys who pride yourself in being of Israel. I don't, whatever you want to be, I mean, whatever you pride yourself in, that's fine. You know, you want to be Irish, Italian, African American, whatever you want, you got it. You enjoy it, okay? But it don't mean nothing. What the only thing that really means anything to God Almighty is that you believe the truth. You're His Israel, the real Israel. That's what I wanted to share with you today.